This is Jim Engster. Thank you for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Signature support comes from First Financial Tax and Accounting Services and Vantage Health Plan. General Russell Honoré is in the house, and we will talk with him. As always, we invite your participation, and I know many of you are listening for the first time tonight, 9 p.m., where we are now every night on WRKF, Monday through Friday. This morning's show preempted by the hearings for Amy Coney Barrett, and we will discuss that and more with the general. But 877-217-5757 is our number if you'd like to join the conversation with General Russell Honoré. Now, before we get to him, the Los Angeles Lakers have won their 17th NBA title, tying the Boston Celtics. Did so by defeating the Miami Heat in a series that was unusual, to say the least, in a bubble. But nonetheless, the Lakers are the champions, and the fourth one for Kobe Bryant. Lakers, by the way, are 17-15 in NBA championship series, and the Boston Celtics were 17-5. They are the other team to have as many championships. Wilt Chamberlain died on this date 21 years ago, the man who scored 100 points in a game, and it was the most prolific scorer in the history of the game as far as his seasonal output, 50 points a game in one season. And in his NBA career, he averaged 46 minutes per game, 46 minutes per game in a 48-minute game. And he was the real deal. Wilt Norman Chamberlain died at 63 on this date in 1999. Another thing, he never fouled out of a game at any level in his whole career. The greatest player in the history of the game, bar none. I don't care what they say, he was the best. General Russell Honoré is one of our best guests, is in studio, and he's here to talk about a few different matters. But our state, again, faced another killer hurricane, something the general knows about. He was the gentleman who brought us back from both Katrina and Rita 15 years ago. And the area where Rita slammed, southwest Louisiana, got hit hard again. First, it was Laura 6 weeks ago, and then it was Delta on Friday night. It could have been worse. We always say that, but this time it's truly reality. It could have been much worse than it was, but still, an awful devastation for an area that already was on the way, and partially, to say, to put it modestly, on the way back from Hurricane Laura. General, have you been following this?
Oh, absolutely. About an hour.
Yeah. And you, of course, were watching it from Baton Rouge, as the rest of us were.
Yes, sir.
Were you affected?
No, sir. A few limbs on the ground, that's about it. But, you know, the night before, as the storm approached, we had a major flood up in Zachary. I have a friend up there who had just moved in his home from the 2016 flood.
Isn't that something?
By a couple of weeks, and had 4 inches of water in his home.
Well, as bad as it is, I'd still rather live here than in California with all those wildfires. And can you imagine what would happen if there were an earthquake in San Francisco or Los Angeles? And San Francisco was once wiped out by an earthquake, and who's to say it couldn't happen now? It's a reality that they live with every day. We live with hurricanes, but it sure is getting weary. 25 of them this year. Is climate change part of that?
Yeah, and the COVID-19 on top of it. I do think climate change. I'm a believer in science, and I think science have conclusively said it has an impact on our weather, and it's having an impact on the power of the storm and the frequency of them. And I believe that. I follow science.
And I remember the former LSU chancellor saying that when LSU has a losing season, the whole state gets the mullygullies, and LSU lost to the University of Missouri, a weak team, 45-41 Saturday. The Tigers are now 1-2 for the first time in 26 years. And 26 years ago, that start finished with a 4-7 finish that caused Curly Holman to lose his job. We'll see what happens. But things are not going particularly well in our state right now, but there's always room for hope. And in 22 days, we have an election. It appears that Donald John Trump will carry Louisiana, barring something really unusual, and that Joseph Robinette Biden Jr. will win the election and become the 46th American president, barring something really unusual. Are you confident, General, that we will have a new leader in charge in Washington, D.C.?
I'm confident we're going to have an election. People have to go vote. And I hope they vote with enthusiasm. But back to a point that just for a moment, the impact of Laura in Delta on our people. That if you're not doing something to help Southwest Louisiana, I'm asking you to reach out. Because people need help. Whether you do it through your church, relatives, coworkers that work in the same company with you. Because the government isn't good enough to do all of this. People are going to need continuous help.
You look like you're ready to go to work right now. Are you headed that way?
I was about to head to Lake Charles.
Yeah, I can tell. You're dressed for the occasion. And you have been supportive of groups like the Cajun Navy, haven't you?
I have. Cajun Navy, United Way, Salvation Army, and I'm on the board of Red Cross. We have much work to do. You know, we're the second poorest state. And now we've had two storms and a downturn on our economy with the oil business being down before as a result of COVID and markets. So we have a lot of people in Louisiana out of work when Laura hit. And many of those people applied for FEMA assistance. They've tried to negotiate with insurance companies, and now another storm came. Some of them haven't made it back to their homes. Thousands of them still in hotels. This is a bad deal. It reminded me of Katrina 2 or 3 days after flying into the state headquarters over there, state police.
Yeah.
And watching kids in Baton Rouge playing soccer while we still had people we hadn't evacuated out of New Orleans.
Isn't that something?
We've got to open our hearts, our hands, and if you're not helping, we need to figure a way to help. As I said, the government isn't good enough to do all of this. We're well led by our governor, the National Guard, FEMA is there. But the people of Southwest Louisiana need a lot of help, and they're going to need it for a long time. And we have to get some changes made, and hopefully with this election, we'll get some changes made in FEMA and HUD and how we recover. You know, the night before the storm, as I said, fella in Zachary just moved into his house from 2016. That's how long it took for him to get back in his home. The homes from Harvey, Irma, and Maria, Michael, and the campfire, people are not back in it. Those are 2017 events. And we've got to fix that. And hopefully this election, we'll be able to get some changes made.
Well, a 70-year-old woman in Iberia Parish died in a fire that was likely caused by a natural gas leak following Hurricane Delta, and an 86-year-old man who also lost his life, probably due to the hurricane. He died in a fire that erupted after he fueled a generator in a shed. Governor John Bel Edwards says it didn't appear the generator had cooled down before the man refilled it. A third storm-related death reported in Florida, where a 19-year-old tourist from Illinois drowned after getting caught in the rip current caused by the storm off Destin. So this was a storm that was significant, the 25th of the year, and two in a row within 6 weeks, blasting Southwest Louisiana. And in general, for those who have never been through this and never seen what devastation is like, and I think most people in Louisiana have seen some evidence of it, but when you're on the ground, you get a real dose of humility and realize how vulnerable we are as earthlings, that the weather trumps everything. We have no true resistance against Mother Nature.
It reminds us that Mother Nature can destroy anything built by man.
Anything.
You build a 10-foot levee, and Mother Nature bring you a 14-foot wave. So we have to be prepared. We have to make decisions on how we rebuild. We have to make decisions. You know, in the last 5 years, I saw some data the other day, over 10 million people have moved closer to the coast. And the coast, when it comes to hurricane and events like that, put more people in exposure. So as we speak, people are moving closer and closer to the coastal waters, which expose more of us. And look, this storm came through the oil patch. Mm-hmm. We've got unknown damage out there. The plants in and around Lake Charles are not up and operational. That's a lot of people that may come back home and may not have their jobs because the plants are not open. The power grid is not up. And it went right through the oil patch twice. So we have significant damage out there from what we're hearing. We got some planes going up today to take some pictures. But that could have a big impact on our environment because that affects what our fishermen and our oyster people and crabbers go out and provide the great seafood that we have in Louisiana and across the nation. So that's a lot of people not at work today.
And it's affected many facets of life. The Lake Charles American Press laid off many of its veteran writers because, think about it, are you going to be throwing newspapers door to door in a case like this? Are you going to be out selling advertising? Of course not. It's a case in which everybody just trying to salvage their lives and their existence. But it's very important also to have reporters on the scene providing information for the people most affected. So let's pray for the best. And also, if you're capable, do what the general's doing. Get in your truck or your car and go to Lake Charles and see what you can do to help those folks. We'll be back with more after this brief timeout. General Russell Honoré at your service after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thanks for joining us for Talk Louisiana. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman are producing on Columbus Day, 12th day of October 2020. Born on this date, by the way, 1969, Nancy Kerrigan, the figure skater who won the Olympic silver in 94, born in Massachusetts. She's 51 years old. She married Jerry Solomon, a guy who came to Louisiana, got tons of state money, and formed the Football Network, which was a total disaster and a drain on our state coffers. But nonetheless, they're still married. I think they have three kids. And Solomon's done better with his marriage, and this is he's been married before, but Nancy's first, and she's 51 years old today and got the heck beat out of her by Tonya Harding. Remember that? General Russell Honoré is here, and he takes no prisoners, a man who is a veteran of warfare, who did our country and our state proud after Hurricanes Katrina and Rita in 2005. And he's head of the Green Army, follows Louisiana politics with earnest, and when he's not trying to help people like the people in Southwest Louisiana, he's down at the Capitol making a point. And he knows he's in the minority on a lot of occasions, and there are some amendments on the ballot in 22 days, and one of them is Amendment 5. The ballot language is, do you support an amendment to authorize local governments to enter into cooperative endeavor ad valorem tax exemption agreements with new or expanding manufacturing establishments for payments in lieu of taxes? By the way, Robert Travis Scott of the Public Affairs Research Council will be with us tomorrow, Tuesday, to discuss this as well, but all the amendments. But the general says Amendment 5 will bring us back the days of backroom deals between politicians and wealthy corporations. Doesn't that go on all the time?
Yes. Matter of fact, as we speak, there's a bill in the House, HB 78, that made it out of the House, and it's on the floor up for debate and vote in the House, that is contingent that if Amendment 5 passes, it is more liberal in that it includes other businesses other than manufacturing. And as you know, Amendment 5 centers around manufacturing. So the legislature, the majority legislature, want to give even more corporate welfare to big companies. This all started, Jim, down in Cameron Parish with an initiative to negotiate taxes when Cameron LLG went in there. That being said, last year, Cameron LLG paid $38,000 in property tax to the city, to the parish of Cameron. If their deal is over and Amendment 5 fails, next year they will have to pay Cameron over $200 million in property tax. That's how significant this is. If the Cameron government hold them accountable and make them pay fair property tax, just like the tax that all of us pay, it's a corporate giveaway, welfare, whereas it doesn't have a limit on how long it will go. It's an amendment that changes the Constitution that has no end date to it. So this thing could go on 25, 30 years with people negotiating taxes now that affect people 25 years from now. This is a bad deal for the state of Louisiana. And the only reason this bill passed is that when it was presented in the legislature, it's been up three times before the last 3 years. It failed every time. It passed this time because we couldn't go. People prohibited from moving around and going to the legislature and making our point. We couldn't go do that this time. And Senator Alain and Representative Abrams pushed this thing through with not one no vote. It was presented and it was good for the people of Louisiana. This is bad for the people of Louisiana. We need that money for our education. Texas did not allow corporate tax exemption, property tax exemption for schools. You have to pay that money. In Louisiana, we want to negotiate that. And what happens is a backroom deal where some of the people in the parishes on the police jury actually work for the companies that they're giving tax exemptions to. And our public schools are going to take another hit.
Right.
We are second to last in education. We have to save the opportunity for the parishes to get the property taxes, support our schools and our public services.
All right. Ray in Spanish Town says, I've read that it's more than $2.5 billion up for negotiation by big companies, and Ray's concern is that this could cut police, fire, and schools. Is that a valid concern?
Absolutely. You know, right here in East Baton Rouge Parish, the last time we had a tax exemption come up, the sheriff said, let them have the tax exemption. At the same time, our sheriff went before the people of Louisiana and of East Baton Rouge and said, I need money from you to pay for police, pay for sheriff's officers. But he allowed a corporate exemption to happen because the corporations give these elected officials money to run on. They make public political donations to them. So they make favor to Exxon and to other companies. And at the same time, they're asking you and I to pay more taxes. This is crazy. This is not good for Louisiana. It's bad for our schools. Our teachers are some of the poorest paid teachers in America. We're 49th in education. And when the bottom line on this, anybody listen, Republicans, Democrat, Independents, this is bad for public education in Louisiana because it allow the few, many of them, the kids don't even go to public school, to give away the tax break to foreign companies. Cameron LNG is owned by a Japanese corporation. Why are we giving Japanese companies tax break?
All right. Well, tomorrow, as I mentioned, we'll have Robert Travis Scott on, and he, like you, expresses some concern, but also says that other states are doing this, and for Louisiana to remain competitive, the argument is that we have to do it. But we'll talk more tomorrow, and if you have a question for the general, 877-217-5757. We have a few people listening at jimingster.com who are dialing in, and we'll get to you before we part company. But, General, we do have a Supreme Court hearing that began today with Amy Coney Barrett.
Yes, sir.
Making her case, and, of course, she's expected to get every Republican vote in the U.S. Senate, and with the exception of Lisa Murkowski and Susan Collins, and that's enough. That would be 51 to get her across the finish line, and she would become the third very conservative justice appointed by Donald John Trump. Now, John Kennedy, who's on the Judiciary Committee, who was once a liberal Democrat, a pro-choicer, who advised Buddy Romer to veto two anti-abortion bills, something that Amy Coney Barrett was against when she was an 18-year-old at the time in Louisiana. Here's John Kennedy describing what he believes the opposition will do and is doing to the potential Supreme Court justice from the great city of New Orleans.
They called her every name in the book. They called her racist. They called her a colonialist. They called her a religious bigot. Before it's over with, they'll call her Rosemary's baby.
All right. That's John Kennedy. Once again, the soundbite machine that he is. And, General, your thoughts?
I will not dignify that with a comment. I feel sorry for us junior senator to go off in this direction. If it's one way to offend everybody who's listening to this and this lady get a fair hearing, it's a democracy. And they'll sort this out in the Senate, and the election will sort the rest of it out. A lot of people think this should wait. I'm of that opinion, this should wait. But the fact that it's constitutional what they're doing, let it roll. Let's not make this a war among people. It doesn't need to be. It's important, but it's not the end of the world. We ought to not define our democracy and the future of our country over another Supreme Court justice.
David in Atlanta. David, you're on Talk Louisiana with General Honore. Hi, David.
Good morning, gentlemen. General, I'd like to get your opinion. You know, Section 5 of the Voters' Rights Bill was gutted by the Supreme Court. That shows you how important the court is. Immediately when that happened, the state of Alabama, under Republican leadership, passed a voter ID law and then closed 24 driver's license bureaus, mostly in minority areas. Now, doesn't that stand for the blatant racism in the Republican Party?
It has been described by many in politics as voter suppression. I think the move by the Texas governor last week was an effort at voter suppression. And John Lewis spoke passionately about this. And since the Voter Rights Act has been passed, every year in state and local governments, there's shots at suppressing the right for people to vote. One of our fundamental rights in the Constitution, the right to vote.
We'll return more with more from General Russell Honoré. 877-217-5757 is your number. Back after this 90-second pause on Talk Louisiana. This is Jim Inkster. Thank you for being with us for Talk Louisiana. 877-217-5757 is your number. Matt Doyle and Lauren Hickman are producing, and a few more minutes with General Russell Honoré, who just had a birthday and looks fit as a fiddle and is heading to Lake Charles to try to help folks. And he is a man who spent 37 years in the U.S. Army. I thought they cut you off at 30.
No, you can go to 40 now.
You can?
Yeah, keep some of the older talent around.
Well, I think that's important. And now we have this case where we've got a 77-year-old man running against a 74-year-old man for president of the United States. 70 is the new 40, I think.
Well, we hope so, as long as they're healthy and they can get the job done. It might be something good to needing a nap in the middle of the day. Being up and talking 24/7 is not good sometimes for our country.
Well, and a listener asked online, and we've talked about this, but it'd be good to get your take. This is Tracy at the Capitol asking about the fact that we've got two nominees for president, third time Biden's run, second time Trump's run, and neither served in Vietnam, and both got out, according to Tracy, probably correct, on fake illnesses, Biden asthma and Trump on bone spurs. And you served, you went, you volunteered. What do you think of guys like that who want to have the authority to lead young men and women off to fight wars in which they probably would not fight themselves?
Yeah, you know, only about 1.5% of American young men and women are eligible to meet the requirements of the service. When you look at all of the requirements we have today, not in their day, but today's requirements, I would say we live in a democracy. We live by the rules that are made and enforced by central government. I think today we take our hats off to those who volunteer, who serve in today. You look at our Louisiana National Guard. They have been working and keeping their jobs and taking care of their families and doing COVID, mm-hmm. 2,500 of them. That's almost half the National Guard been on 24/7 duty for weeks now. So those who want to serve got the option to serve. I do think they missed an opportunity in their portfolio, the positions they hold today. But I do believe that people will have a personal choice on the 3rd of November. Do you want to continue like we have the last 4 years, and particularly the last year, or do you want to change? And I'm not a Republican, and I'm not a Democrat. I'm a no party. You pick who you want. Do you want to continue to live the way we're living now, or do you want to change? And I think both of these men have a record that they could stand on, and you make your choice. I know the direction I'm going.
Well, quite often we see young black men and poor white kids going off to fight these wars, Vietnam in particular. They didn't have the means to get out, and people of privilege found ways to stay on the sidelines. That was an addition to being a controversial war. It was highly unfair, and today I would guess the military is populated even today by kids who are not country club types.
The majority of our recruits come from the farms across America and from the Southeast.
from the Southeast.
And the big cities. That's where the majority of our recruits come from.
The Sun Belt.
Right. From working poor and poor people. That's where the majority of our recruits come from.
Nothing wrong with that, but it would be nice if everybody had some skin in the game.
Absolutely. And if you are not going to serve in the military, then volunteer. You know, start a Red Cross club at your college or at your school to help poor people. Look, we're the second poorest state. We're in trouble. 40% of our budget comes from the federal government. We got the lowest paid teachers. We're the third largest energy producer and the second poorest state. There are people asking questions. Well, Louisiana, you got all this wealth. You got the Mississippi River. 50% of the barges in America in Louisiana on energy. Why are you so poor? The reason we're so poor is these backdoor deals.
All right. Here's
these tax breaks.
We'll leave it with this.
Foreign companies.
General, a question from Peter listening in Boston saying that the president has appointed more than 50 federal judges. He's nominated 3 U.S. Supreme Court justices, and there is not one person of color on that list. Not
I think
one.
That speaks for itself.
Zero. Now, is that America?
That speaks for itself. You draw your own conclusions. It's obvious as it is by the numbers. The numbers rule what you see, and that's a statement into itself. And we've got an opportunity to change that on 3 November. If you want to continue to see that the country move that way, stay with what you got. If you want to see change, you vote for change.
General, it is always a pleasure. Thanks for your service.
God bless America.
Your patriotism.
We will survive this, too.
And God bless you. Be safe. You're a Louisiana treasure. We don't want anything happening to the general as he heads to Lake Charles. And even with the storm gone, as you can imagine, there is harm's way. Don't hit any power lines on over there. It is still treacherous, but the general is a patriot. Always has been, always will be. Today at the Baton Rouge Press Club, 4 p.m. start, unusual time, but at the Burden Center, the candidates are gathering for a debate, and it's those who are launching a real campaign, and that would mean that 5 candidates were invited, 3 accepted, all Democrats, the mayor of Shreveport, Adrian Perkins, Antoine Pierce, Baton Rouge businessman, and New Orleans teacher Peter Winstrup. Aaron Sigler, the Libertarian candidate, has an engagement in Delaware, so he was unable to be present. And Bill Cassidy, the current U.S. Senator, received 56% of the votes in 2014 against Mary Landrieu, decided not to appear, saying he would only appear if all the candidates were there, and that would mean 15 people, some of whom, of course, just put their names on the ballot. The real reason, of course, is that Bill Cassidy didn't want to debate any opponent because he is headed for likely reelection, and why take the chance? That's the real reason. But Senator Cassidy does have some questions to answer, and at some point we hope he will. He always has an invitation to appear on our show. 6 years ago, he ran against Senator Landrieu, and his big mantra was that she had voted with President Obama 97% of the time. Well, Bill Cassidy has voted with President Trump 97% of the time. Let's hope he answers that question about why, and if he thinks that's a good idea, sometime very soon, because the election is 22 days away.